Thank you, Donald, and thank you for leading us in that good selection of hymns, hymns that bless the heart. This afternoon we had over 50 young children here, and I must say that they behaved very nicely, and they are very bright children. They grasp things very quickly. You spoke about the 7 ducks in a muddy river. Naaman, he was a sad man. Then he became a madman. Praise God, he ended up a glad man. So we'll be having the children each Tuesday afternoon, and we appreciate your prayers. Now, last Thursday, we began with our series of messages on the challenge to be. The challenge to be a loving Christian. You know, there are many, many Christians, in fact, who are ambitious to be successful. Successful as the world measures success. And there are many who are ambitious to be wealthy, to be rich. And they are ambitious to be many other things. But you don't find very many who are ambitious to be loving Christians. And you know that is the best of all. You not only will be a blessing to others, but love begets love. There are many, many rewards in life if you reach out to people in love. Now, if we love someone, why, that love has a desire to care, a desire to share, and, of course, a desire to make prayer. The desire to share, of course, we want to tell others about our Savior. And so tonight, it's the challenge to be a witnessing Christian. I'd like to read just 3 verses in the scripture. First one is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11:30. Where we read, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The interesting thing about that last phrase is that you can put the emphasis on almost any word. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Almost any word there you can put the emphasis on. Now turning to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 3. He that winneth souls is wise, and here it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Think of it. We can shine brightly in the glory forever and ever if we turn others to righteousness. Now finally, that verse in Acts chapter 1, where we have our risen Lord's words just before he ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. where our Lord said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." An outline I've used with this verse, but won't use tonight, is the privilege of witness. It belongs to the Christian. The power of witness is that of the Holy Spirit, and the scope of witness, the entire world. Now, God has a wonderful message. He wants men, women, young people, boys and girls, to hear that message. And he very easily could have ordained angels to convey the message to men. In fact, he could have written across the sky the glorious message that Jesus saves. He could have put it upon every blade of grass and the leaf of every tree. But God has ordained that those who come to know the Savior tell others. Now, let me say this right at the beginning, lest I forget to say it, that I believe in the sovereignty of God. I am not a hyper-Calvinist, far be the thought. But I believe that God does, that he is in control, and that he does send his messengers here, and he sends them there. And there are so many things that we don't understand. But I not only believe in the sovereignty of God, I believe in human responsibility. I believe that God approaches every soul in grace, and that soul is given some light, and when light is responded to, God gives more light. And it is the responsibility of that soul to believe the gospel, to receive Christ. Then I also believe in Christian behavior. We read in the book of Acts that they so preached that many believed. And you know as well as I do that if there's a church over there in Miami where people are fussing and Christians are fussing and feuding all the time, it just turns other people off. But where there is one marked by Holy Spirit power and love for one another and a concern for the lost, then people sit up and take notice. And so that's a factor in salvation. Not only God's sovereignty, not only man's responsibility, but the behavior of Christians, and that includes the witness of Christians. And then another factor is the prayers of intercession. We pray for the lost. We name them by name before the throne of grace. And this too is a factor. Now, I cannot harmonize those four. I cannot reconcile them all, and neither can you. But we can believe them. We can believe that our prayers count with regards to salvation, and that our witness and our Christian behavior counts, and we can believe that God is not willing that any should perish, and that he is sovereign. And we can also believe that it's the responsibility of that sinner to believe the gospel. But now, we are to be his witnesses. God has ordained it so. And that, by the way, is a responsibility, but praise God, it's also a wonderful privilege. Just think, we can speak a word for the King of the universe. We can tell of that lovely life he lived here on earth. We can tell others of his sufferings. We can tell others of his glories. We can tell others of his love. What a privilege. Now, what is a witness? A witness is one who tells what he sees, what he hears, what he experiences. And of course, a Christian witness is one who tells what he has experienced of the grace of God and how he has the assurance of salvation and so forth. A witness basically is one who tells what he knows. Now, I believe I told this story here about 5 or 6 years ago when I was speaking on the mission of the church. Has to do with a man who entered a monastery, and it fits in real well here. This man entered the monastery and took his place with all the other men in giving himself to prayer and meditation and study. And he noticed that every morning a different man gave the devotional talk at the chapel service. Well, he knew he couldn't do that. It'd be the most difficult thing in the world. So he went to the monitor, the man in charge of making assignments, and he said, "Sir, I'll do anything around here that you ask me to do. I'll pull the weeds out of the garden. I'll scrub the floors. I'll wash the pots and pans. I'll do anything. But please don't ever ask me to give the devotions in the morning." "Well," said the monitor, "I was just wondering who I was going to have do it tomorrow. The assignment is yours. Do a good job." Well, that night, the poor man hardly slept a wink. The next morning, his mouth was dry, and he stood with fear and trembling before his congregation as he got up before them. And he finally got some words out. He said, "My brethren, do you know what I am going to say?" And they all shook their heads. He said, "Well, neither do I. So let's have the benediction." Well, the monitor didn't like that at all. And he said, "Tomorrow, you're going to have another chance. And this time, you better do it right." Well, once again, he had a sleepless night. And once again, he was very fearful as he got up there before his congregation. And once again, he started out the same way. He said, "My brethren, do you know what I am going to say?" And this time they all nodded their heads. He says, "Well, since you know what I'm going to say, there is no sense in my saying it. Let's have the benediction." Well, now the monitor was very upset. And he said, "Tomorrow you will do it right or we'll put you in solitary confinement with bread and water." I don't know if they do that in monasteries, but the point is the monitor was upset. On the third morning, our friend got up there once again, and he started out the same way. He said, "My brethren, do you know what I am going to say?" And this time, half of them shook their heads, and half of them nodded their heads. So he said, "Let those who know tell those who don't. Let's have the benediction." Well, we can smile at something like that, but there's a great amount of truth there. Namely, those who know are to tell those who don't. That is what it's all about. Aren't you glad that someone told you about the Savior? Don't you rejoice to know that servants of the Lord preach the gospel, or that someone witnessed to you? Reminds me of the girl who was asked through whose preaching she was saved. She said, "I wasn't saved through anyone's preaching. I was saved through my mother's practicing." But anyway, we're so glad for mothers, fathers, and for servants of the Lord who have told us the gospel. Now, every Christian is to be a witness. In fact, every Christian is a witness, for better or for worse. And at the same time, we all have gifts, charisma. We all have different functions in the body of Christ. We're not all eyes, we're not all ears, we're not all fingers, and so forth. We all have a different function. And as a church functions to the glory of God, and these gifts are exercised, the body is healthy, and the body is conveying a message. Some call it body evangelism. But we do know that gifts vary. Some have the gift of faith, some the gift of giving, some the gift of exhortation or the gift of preaching or teaching. But it's all for the purpose of evangelizing the lost, edifying the body of Christ, and exalting the Lord. Now, there are certain things we can all do, like we can all pray. And I remember visiting this island a number of years ago and went to see Mr. Sam Underwood. He hadn't been out of his home for many years, and I always enjoyed the visits. I went to see him, and he was shut in. And I said, "Brother Sam, there's one thing you can do. You may not be able to get out to the meetings, but you can pray, and I wish you would pray for me." And you know what he said? He says, "Brother Gladstone, I have been praying for you for every day for many years." That blessed my heart. And you know, that's something we can all do. Pray for one another. Pray for the servants of the Lord. Pray, oh, there's so much to pray about. Don't be surprised if we speak about the challenge to be a praying Christian. And then I remember visiting Nassau back in the early 50s. And during the 50s, every time I passed through that city, there was one Christian businessman who always sent me an envelope or had me call by his office, and in that envelope was some money. Now, I don't like money. That's sometimes a necessity, and it can be used for the glory of God. But you know, in those days when I didn't have much, it was such an encouragement. Seeking to give myself to the preaching of the gospel, here was a man who had a concern that every servant of God coming through Nassau be ministered to. And there are men like that here on this island, and women. There are Christians like that who give. And then there are not only those who pray and who give. Another thing we can just about all do is show hospitality. And many a time, traveling through this world, I have been weary and worn. But how good to enter a home where there's love, where there's hospitality, and have your soul refreshed. These are things that we can do. And then, there's also the gift of helps. I remember a young man in St. Louis, Missouri. He was physically retarded. when he walked, he sort of dragged one leg behind him and swung his body in a very grotesque fashion. But he said to the brethren in the assembly, "I would like to do something for the Lord, and I believe that I could clean up the chapel every Saturday." Well, they gave him the job. And you know what they told me? That he sometimes, in mopping or sweeping, would fall flat on his face, but he would pick himself up and stay with the job, and that chapel was always sparkling clean on Sundays. He was doing it as unto the Lord. I remember a girl in Valdosta, Georgia. She stammered, but she wanted to be a witness for the Lord. She wanted to do something for him. She would say, my name is Alice. That's the way she talked. But you know what? They have the mailbox club there, carried on by a friend of ours, Mr. George Eager. And she would grade the lessons. And on these lessons sent to thousands of boys and girls all over the country and all over the world now, she would put in little notes of love and notes of encouragement, and many of those boys and girls, as a result, put their faith in the Savior. Reminds me, I almost hesitate to repeat it because it's so well known, God is not so much interested in our ability as he is our availability. And if we give ourselves to him, he can use us to be witnesses in different ways. In fact, he has said, just a cup of water given in his name will not lose its reward. But even though we are all witnesses and all have different functions in the body and can do these things, yet we are to witness to those who are in our world. And how do we witness? Well, we witness with our lips. We tell what we know. We also witness with our looks. I remember one preacher who always used to say to me, Frank Perry would remember him, Harold M. Harper. He always used to say, "You can't help your face, but you can help your countenance." I don't know why he always said that to me, but it is true. We sometimes can't do much about our faces, but we can have a countenance that shows the peace and the joy and the love of God. And others will pick it up. I have seen some people that if you really analyze their features, they're not good looking at all. But they are so full of the joy of the Lord that their countenances just seem to radiate and shine, and you want to be around someone like that. And of course, a long-faced, sour-looking Christian is not much of a testimony at all. What was it Worth Ellis said here once? He said, some Christians are so sour-looking, you'd think they'd been baptized in vinegar. Well, we not only witness with our lips, not only with our looks, but with our lives. That's the double testimony, someone has said, of life and lip that convinces men. And of course, we've often heard that saying, "What you are, speak so loud, I cannot hear what you say." And I think this is real good. We witness by what we say. We witness more by what we do. But we witness most of all by what we are. And this is getting right down to character, Christ-like character. You know, what the world needs today, it needs the information, but it also needs demonstration. The demonstration comes from a Christ-like life. I was in one city for a vacation Bible school one summer, and I'd never been at that place before, and every evening I was invited out to a meal, and in meeting these people for the first time, why, I asked them how they came to know the Lord. And you know, it was absolutely amazing. The finger pointed in every instance just about to one woman in that assembly. And I met her. She had not only the countenance, but the godly character that blessed people. And the fact is, what they were saying is, she had something we wanted. She had that assurance of salvation and a godly concern for others. And so Christ-like character, it speaks volumes. And then, the Christians who I think are very, very, very effective in witnessing are the tribulation saints. I don't mean those who are going to go through the great tribulation, but those who have tribulation now, and yet, in spite of it, they rejoice in the Lord, they keep praising Him. You know, I was speaking Sunday night about that tornado that swept through Huntsville. And we don't have an answer to a young woman who says, Why did God take my Christian husband, my good husband, at such a young age? We don't have an answer for it, and yet we believe that God has a purpose in allowing that. And if we maintain our integrity and trust Him, why, people can see then reality. And that speaks volumes. And so those Christians who go through trial and trouble, through deep waters, who lay upon beds of sickness and praise the Lord, I believe they are very, very effective witnesses for the Lord. I remember my wife and I went to see Miss Melba a number of years ago, and we thought we might encourage her a bit. And she was laying on her bed right in the bedroom so close to this building. And she couldn't see. And her heart was very weak and just laying on the bed day after day. Were we a blessing to her? I don't know about that, but she was a blessing to us. Because she sang that hymn, "Praise the Savior, ye who know Him." Verse after verse without a mistake. And so, tribulation saints, and if you go through trial and lean hard upon God, people will take note of that, and your witness will be blessed of Him. And then, in witnessing, excuse me, we need zeal. You know, I just marvel at how politicians, just had a political campaign that ended yesterday in the United States. I just marvel how these politicians spend money, shake hands, hold and hug babies, and go through the most strenuous schedules, crossing the country and crossing the state, going here, going there. And they never seem to tire. And what do they do it all for? To win some votes. And then you think of the men in sports, how they discipline their bodies, how they go through rigorous training, how they give it all they have. What for? To win a game. And then there are those men and women in the professions and the arts who burn the midnight oil, who practice and sacrifice and read and go at it year after year. What for? That they might be successful. And then there are businessmen who will be friendly with everybody, who will be just as polite as can be. Why, even Jewish merchants will wish their customers and patrons Merry Christmas. What for? All in order to get some business, to make some money. And then there are men in the military who will take risks, who will suffer hardship or endure hardship, who will suffer pain and even lose their lives. What for? In order to win the battle. And then think of the people in the false cults. We have them over in the United States. If you don't have them here, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth, they go around neighborhoods knocking on doors, and they seem to go from morning, from the dawn of morning right to the evening, and they knock and knock, and they talk and talk. What for? In order to win some converts to a false religion. And so we have to marvel at the zeal that the people of this world sometimes show. And then we know of Christians who won't even cross the street to talk to a dying neighbor about the Lord Jesus. So what we need is zeal. And remember, they had it in the early church. They asked God for boldness, and God gave them boldness. And in spite of the opposition, in spite of the threat of persecution, they boldly preached Jesus right there in the streets of Jerusalem. Now, I haven't always been very zealous. In fact, I used to be very fearful and very shy. In fact, I was so shy at one time that I'd rather do without eating for a couple of days rather than ask a girl for a date. And then I got saved, and I was afraid to talk to others about the Lord Jesus. It was just my nature, and I recognized that fact. And so I began to pray that God would help me overcome that fear. Well, I believe he has to some extent, to a great extent. My wife and I, by the way, were up in Alaska last year. And we spent 32 days at a camp, and then we had a week in which we were just going to see God's creation in wild and wonderful Alaska. But I knew we were going to be meeting a lot of tourists, and so I asked God to give me the boldness to speak to them. And I had many, many opportunities to witness for the Lord. And let me tell you about one instance. It's rather amusing, but it illustrates my point. One evening, I called up the camp, and the manager answered the phone, and I said, Jim, could you meet Maddie and me at the Willow and Willow? That was about 15 miles from the camp. We're going to take the Denali Express about 6:30, and we should be in about 9 o'clock. And he said, oh, I'd be glad to. And so Maddie and I waited for the Denali Express. I thought it was going to be a bus, but here it was a 12-passenger van. Well, we gave the lady driver our tickets, and we were the last two passengers. We filled it up. And I said, we're not going all the way to Anchorage. We want to get off at Willow. And she said, well, when we get to Willow, just hour stop. Well, when she said that, it reminded me of a story. So right there, as I was sitting on the van with all these people, I started telling a story. The story of the itinerant preacher back in the horseback days who was looking for a new horse. And he heard of this retired preacher who had one for sale. He checked it out, and he found out that the horse was blind, Body was very good at obeying the commands. If you wanted it to go, you said, praise the Lord. If you wanted it to stop, you said, hallelujah. The price was right, and he liked the horse, and he bought. And it's a good thing my wife was sitting up at the front, or I would have gotten an elbow in the ribs right at the beginning. But anyway, I was telling all these people on the van how this preacher was galloping along one day, shortly after he bought the horse, and he came to a cliff. And he panicked. And he said, whoa! And the horse didn't whoa. And then he hollered, stop! And that's where I got the idea when the woman said, holler, stop. He hollered, stop! And the horse kept on galloping right toward the edge of that cliff. And then just in time, he remembered the magic word, hallelujah! And the horse stopped right on the very edge. And he pulled out his handkerchief, wiped his brow, and said, praise the Lord. Well, they all laughed on that van, and when the laughter had died down, they all laughed except four Koreans. They didn't know what I was talking about. And one of them suddenly started pointing to himself, and he said, hallelujah, hallelujah, believer, believer. You see, that international word, it got through to him, and he wanted everybody to know on that van that he was a Christian. Well, to make a long story short, we were singing Jesus Loves Me in English and Korean. We were quoting John 3:16 in English and Korean. And I was telling the young men behind me how they could be 100% sure of going to heaven. Maddie was talking to some women up at the front, and we had a wonderful time. And we got to Willow, Alaska, and we could get off there, but it wasn't a scheduled stop for everybody to get off, but everybody did get off, and as they did so, they came over and hugged us, and the four Koreans, they stood up straight, and they kept bowing like this to us. And the camp manager was standing over there, scratching his head, trying to figure out what had happened on that van. Well, I say this just to let you know that you can overcome any timid spirit that you may have. Just reach out to speak to someone, and I have found they appreciate it. They don't always respond to the gospel. In fact, sometimes you just have to knock at their door, as it were, and have them close it. But what we need today is more zeal in reaching out. But we not only need zeal, we need tact. I remember talking to a young lady years ago up in Chicago. She was a Roman Catholic. And I was talking to her, and she told me how she was riding a bus in Chicago. And she noticed this young man staring at her. Made her uncomfortable. And then she came to her stop, and she got up and went to the door and got off the bus. And he followed her in the dark out. She lived about a block away. And she started walking quite quickly, and he was walking right behind her, keeping pace with her, and then she started to run, and then he started to run after her, and she got to her door, and by that time she was really frightened, and this man, young man, went up to her, and he said, are you saved? Well, the young fellow, you have to admire his zeal, but he didn't have much tact. He really scared the life out of that young lady. And another thing that happened up there in Chicago, and this really happened, there was a barber who knew the Lord, and he wanted a witness to his patrons, and he had a new customer come in one day, and the man wanted a shave and a haircut, so he laid him out in the chair, covered him up, and lathered him. And then he started to sharpen his razor, And as he did so, he started his witness with words like this: "Are you ready to die?" Well, as soon as the man heard that, he was up out of that barber chair and running down the street. Well, you do need tact, but the main thing is we need zeal and we need concern for souls. My time is up, and I'm going to stop. I had other things to say, but we can work them in at another time. But may God let us know, every one of us, that we have the wonderful privilege in this world of witnessing for Christ. Shall we pray? Our God, we thank Thee for our wonderful Savior, His love for us. And there are so many out there who do not know the gospel. Teach us, Lord, to pray for them and to tell them of the Lord Jesus. Give us wisdom. Give us zeal. Give us tact. But, oh, our God, may we be faithful witnesses and hear those words when we get to heaven, to the judgment seat of Christ: "Well done, good and faithful servant." We commit ourselves to Thee now and all those upon this island, especially remembering those who are sick, afflicted, shut in. God bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.